courtside of the virtual hardwood, it's the MLSC podcast, episode number 434. Andrew with you once again. I am Andrew in the forum and Andrew MLSC on Twitter. My co-host is Derek. He is Deeper3 in the forum and Deeper384 on Twitter. Derek, good to talk to you again.
No, I'm happy to be here. I know that we have a lot of NBA 2K23 news to go over because we had a bunch of information drop over the last week or so. And we also have some possibly good news for the NBA live heads that they could possibly get excited about as well. But I had to start off this episode talking about something that I know that you're going to find troubling and at the same time hilarious. You know how I picked up Lakers versus Celtics in the NBA playoffs, the 1989 version. You know, I picked up like the floppy disk.
Oh, I know it very well because I was looking at that that copy too.
Yeah. So I got a really good deal on that. I think I ended up paying, what was it, around $40? I can't remember.
About that, yeah.
Like $40 or $50. I mean, I've been playing it. It's great and everything. But mine wasn't a factory sealed version. It didn't come with the box, etc. So Tecmo Bowl, GGL, he's participated in a couple of our tournaments. I've done a live stream with him. He's a good guy. He found on eBay a factory sealed Lakers versus Celtics in the NBA playoffs, pristine condition. And he said it was, you know, for about a week or two, it was at like the $50 mark. And he saw suddenly before the bidding time frame ended that the dollar amount was going up. So he threw a bid out there of $600. And you would think that would get the job done, right? Like, he really wanted this game, $600 for a game that came out in 1989, and it's just the factory sealed version of it. Well, somebody outbid him right away for a grand, and then it ended up selling. Get this. Now, remember, I spent like $40 on my floppy disk version, and I can still play the game just like then. It ended up selling for $7,100.
Wow. That is definitely a collector's item at that price. I mean, sealed, that's pretty rare to get that these days. A game from 1989 still sealed, but 7,000 US. That's a lot of money to drop on a collector's item.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wild. And he really wanted it. Like, he's a collector kind of like us. And he had been keeping an eye on it, checking every day, etc. You know, to see if there was one posted, you know, one in a box, etc. And he thought $600 would get the job done. And you know, if you had told me that you had bid $600 on a game that came out in 1989, I'd probably be like, okay, that's definitely going to be enough.
Surely.
But $7,100 just blew my mind.
I mean, I've seen, because as you know, I've talked about my issues with NBA 2K10, the disc. The problems I have with the disc with both versions. I even got a replacement disc, and somehow that's developed a problem as well. It doesn't appear to be any scratches, but it just doesn't want to load. I have no idea what's going on with that. I've been looking around just to see if I can pick up a replacement disc. Again, a third copy of it, just to see, before I try and get these repaired. But some of those are becoming collector's items because, of course, Kobe Bryant's tragic passing. But some people have put up sealed copies of 2K10 PC for $10,000 US, which is just crazy. So
it's wild because somebody will buy it. That's the thing that's crazy about it, is somebody will buy it. Remember the basketball card selling craze where all the prices were going up?
That's right.
You'd see cards that weren't even graded. Like, they'd be like a Kobe Bryant rookie card or something like that. And people were spending tens of thousands of dollars on those cards. And, you know, it's, people will buy this stuff. There's buyers for almost anything. So it's just wild.
There is a Michael Jordan card, I think NBA Hoops 1991, I believe it is, that I saw go for a few hundred dollars at least. And I checked, and I actually have a double of that card in great condition. So I put that in a little plastic sleeve, and I might see if I can sell that on eBay for get some money for that, because I do have the spare. I do have the double of that card. So, yeah, but it is crazy how people will spend that much money. I don't know if I've actually spent $7,000 on my collection. It's possible over the years, probably, when you add up all the games that I've bought new, I guess. It's one of those wild things you don't really try to think about after a while, but certainly I've not. I think the biggest purchase I've made, the most expensive, might be either NCAA basketball or College Hoops 2K8 around about 100 US.
I did not spend $7,000 on my car.
Yeah.
So there you go. Like, that's
me
just,
either, yeah.
It's a lot. That's a lot of money. Actually, haven't you had your car for, 20, 25 years now?
It was originally my parents' car. They've had it for possibly 20 years, and I bought it from them many years ago as well. So it was the car I learned to drive in, actually. So it is actually a 26-year-old car, but I haven't myself owned it for that long.
That's wild, though. A car to last that long. And I think the last time I talked to you about your car, it was running well still. So that's pretty impressive stuff.
It's a Toyota. It's a Toyota. They just run and run and run. Yeah.
There you go.
All the mechanics I've talked to say, Holden, with GM in the US, Ford, etc., they all come across the workshop, a lot of major work done, but this is not sponsored by Toyota, although it could be. But apparently Toyotas, they come in for services, a general tune-up, but that's pretty much it. And I haven't had that many problems with it, so yeah, go Toyota.
Good stuff. I have a question for you, actually, before we move on. We talk about money spent on games, and we've talked about your collection. What's the number one game that you don't have but that you want right now, and what's the most you would be willing to spend on it?
It might be a Lakers versus Celtics or possibly a Jordan versus Bird. Probably 50 to 60 Australian or even US, I suppose. It's probably going to have to come from the US. A lot of them do. So I do end up spending a little bit more on some of them than if I was able to find them locally, I suppose. Probably one of those. I mean, obviously, I would love to have NBA Elite 11 just for the collecting purposes of it. But yeah, they're going for $20,000 now, so I don't think so. But is there anything that you would add? I mean, you've got that holy grail with Lakers versus Celtics. I have seen some copies of Jordan versus Bird in box and not too expensive. It's more a case of having other bills at the moment and not looking to expand the collection and sort of save money for other things at present. But it's probably one of those two. Or again, the dream is Elite 11, but it's just not going to happen.
The holy grail of old basketball games for me is Jordan versus Bird, Double Dribble, and now Lakers versus Celtics. Like, having those three, that's a big deal for me. There's actually two games that I'm getting in the mail tomorrow that I didn't have. NBA Live 2005 for the PC and NBA Live 2007 for the PC. I didn't have NBA Live 05 or Live 07 for the PC, and I wanted to round out my PC collection. So that right there has me owning all of the NBA Lives that ever made it to PC, and then all of the NBA 2Ks that have ever been on PC. So from 2K9 up to 2K22, and obviously I'll end up getting NBA 2K23 as well. So that's pretty exciting for me, so I can't wait to get those in the mail.
No, that's interesting, because I thought you had 2005. I knew you didn't have 07. But yeah, 2005, a fantastic release on across all platforms, that PS2, Xbox, and PC all have the same version. But that's a great game. All-Star Weekend making its debut, obviously, that year. Great on the sticks. Just another step forward from 2004. You've got a lot of the improvements that were made in 2004, plus better graphically as well. No, 2005, although I love 06, as you know, 06 PC, 2005 PC is right there with it.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I would like to do in the short term is get NBA Inside Drive 2000 working for my PC. As you know, I picked up Inside Drive 2000, Ray Allen's on the cover, and you know that I've been revisiting the NBA Inside Drives recently, and I've shared some clips from NBA Inside Drive 2003. But I have this thing about playing the first ever version of a specific basketball game. So, like, it's a big deal for me to go back and see what they were doing with, like, the original NBA 2K, right? It's a big deal for me to go back and play NBA Live 95 and see, how they came out of the gate, what the game looks like, the design decisions, what they were doing gameplay-wise, how they were trying to innovate, all of that stuff. So getting that Inside Drive 2000 to work on Windows 10 in my PC right now is a pretty high priority.
I think I was able to get mine to work okay. I haven't run it for a while. It might be another case of using the old NGlide wrapper, or one of them.
Yeah, I might actually have to have a session with you on Parsec, and you connect to my computer and maybe show me how to get that going on and glide. I really just want to get that working in the short term. I hate having that stuff linger and it's like, you know, I really want to play this and I can't just, you know, sit on my couch and throw it on, etc.
I mean, not to stir up any controversy here, but of course that is the, if there is a benefit to the to consoles, it is that you can just chuck the game in and it will continue to work if you have that working console years later. And we're going to be talking about PC versus console to some extent in this this episode with the announcement of 2K23 and the confirmation that the PC is going to be a current gen. But I mean, we've got a lot of those old games to work on PC. I think there's only a couple of games I need to open up a virtual machine and play, like on a Windows XP or 98 installation.
Well, I mean, PC is definitely more convenient overall when you actually have the game installed, because instead of throwing the disc in, I can just double click on an icon on the desktop.
That's true.
So, like, that's, like, for me, that's always going to be better and more convenient. I try to play on PC as much as possible. But I wanted to talk to you really quick before we get to the NBA 2K23 and NBA Live stuff. I want to talk to you really quick about NBA Inside Drive, the series. I don't know how much time you spent with that. I spent a ton of time on Inside Drive 2002, 2003, and 2004 back when I was in high school. And then when I first got out of high school, played it a lot with my friend Craig, who, him and I were on the basketball team. We were hanging out all the time. Started a season with the Celtics with Pierce and Antoine Walker, et cetera. How much time did you actually spend with that series?
Not a lot, to be honest. I did get Inside Drive 2000 for PC back in the day, and I was kind of unimpressed with it, actually. I went back the next weekend and traded it in for GTA 2, of all things, which is not my favorite game in the GTA series, as it happens. But I did pick it up again years later. I did the Wayback Wednesday on it. I kind of have the same opinion of it all these years later. It's not my favorite. I have heard that 2002, 2003, 2004, that the later ones, the Xbox exclusive ones, original Xbox that is, of course, were much better. They had things like the All-Star voting long before it was in NBA Live or NBA 2K, I believe, as well. So they were doing a lot of things, those extra things with their franchise modes that Live wasn't. I heard it was pretty good on the sticks as well. But yeah, no, I'm actually interested to hear your take on it, because I've only really played 2000 and never really been that impressed with it compared to Live 2000.
So I've never played Inside Drive 2000, but I've seen the gameplay videos and I can see why you were unimpressed. Like, it is night and day different from 2002, 2003, and 2004. You can tell that they made a huge jump in just a couple years, even with that 2002 version. Listen, I think this is one of the most underrated basketball video game series ever made. I think that it's better than, you know, from a sim standard and a fun standard, I think it's better than most of the Konami games that came out, you know, but Konami basketball titles. I think that it competes incredibly well with NBA Live and NBA 2K at the time. In fact, it has some advantages, you know, gameplay wise over those games, and some disadvantages, which I'll get into in a moment. They have a commentary crew before I get into the gameplay. I don't know if you've ever heard the commentary. Probably not, because you haven't played those games. But it's Kevin Calabro, Marcus Johnson, and Kenny Smith. And Kenny Smith's always good on the mic. You know that. Like, he was in some of the NBA 2Ks as well. He does a fantastic job. Kevin Calabro is incredibly underrated. He's not as well known as, you know, the Kevin Harlans, obviously, or the Marv Alberts, or the Mike Breens, etc. But he falls in line and does as good of a job as, like, the Don Poyers for NBA Live. So he does a really good job with the regular commentary. And Marcus Johnson is incredibly underrated as a color commentator in the game. And if, for those who don't know, Marcus Johnson is a basketball legend. He was a great NBA player, etc. But he has a lot of cool little lines in there. He adds excitement to the action. So they did a really good job with the presentation on the Inside Drive series, you know, for those three games. Also, from a gameplay perspective, the game is just really fun. And I actually think that Nate Stasho and Roger Ward, the NBA Live 2001 legends, I think that they would absolutely love the gameplay because of how fun, free-flowing it is, but also how strategic you can be in it in order to, you know, be successful. So I recommend the Inside Drive games to anybody who loves basketball video games, especially if they love retro basketball video games. The gameplay has a really, really strong post-game, which is rare for a lot of games back then. You know, being able to spin baseline, spin towards the hoop. You have little step-back fadeaways. Think Hakeem Olajuwon. You have half hooks going with either hand. You have full hooks. So just a ton of options in the post. For shooting, you have sideaways. You have shots on the move. You have little fadeaways where you do a little kick. You have your regular straight up jump shots where it and then on defense, the stealing mechanics and blocking mechanics are unbelievably rewarding. And I know that's important to you, right? Like those steal and block mechanics make it so you're not just looking forward to playing on offense every possession, but you're also loving the other side of the ball, you know, the other 50% of the game.
Absolutely.
You're enjoying.
No, that is the sign of a well-made game when it plays well at both ends. Because, and we've talked about this before, that the weakest basketball games are the ones that, oh, sure, they've got a lot of focus on scoring. Oh, some nice dunks or whatever. The animations look good. But defense is just garbage to play. That you're just so overwhelmed and don't have the tools on defense. But I'd love to connect with you on Parsec and play some of those games. That'd be great to experience those for the first time. You know how much I love that, obviously. And Kevin Calabro, the former voice of the Supersonics, of course. I mean, if you've seen those highlights of Kemp and Peyton from the 90s, you'll hear his voice over those highlights and the passion he has, that great baritone. Of course, he was the voice of NBA Full Court Press, I remember, back in the day. And, of course, the later the Inside Drive series when Microsoft rebranded to that. Yeah, definitely an overlooked series. Didn't run that long. I think Microsoft started making deals with EA around about the mid-2000s, which is when it stopped, and rather than having their own first-party game, kind of invested a little bit more in having NBA Live on the platform and whatnot. But yeah, Inside Drive probably cut down in its prime.
Well, what ended up happening, actually, is Ubisoft ended up buying Inside Drive.
Oh, okay. No,
so the rights to Inside Drive, and then they just didn't do anything with it.
Hmm.
That's what ended up happening, which it's a damn shame because they were making really good basketball games. And one of the things that you really like about your NBA 2K14, my career, right, and the NBA 2K14 in general, is how fun it is to play defense.
Yes.
I've talked to you about that multiple times. Blocking is rewarding, but those little poke steals, getting steals, and then, you know, the momentum carrying you to the ball, and then you get out on the break, all of that stuff. How many highlights have you submitted that were defense to offense? Like that.
A lot of them, NBA, yeah. A lot of them are.
A lot of them. And if you didn't submit them for the top 10, you were just showing them to me. But there was a couple other things really quick that Inside Drive series was doing so well at the time. They allowed you to use any number of teams in a season. And you know how much that matters to my brothers and I.
Of course.
So you could control as many teams as you wanted. They had, you know, the awards that you would normally get in a season, etc. They had a really strong create a player feature. And of course, one of the things we all love, they had a bunch of cheat codes. And we loved cheat codes back in the day. How many sites did you visit for cheat codes for all these different video games? And
it's the books as well. It's the magazines and the cheat books that you can actually buy from the news agents as well. Absolutely.
People don't understand how exciting that was. Remember all the NBA Jam cheat codes where you could unlock mascots, presidents, actors, all of that stuff?
Absolutely.
I mean, hell, I'd still do that today and have fun. In fact, I did do it on NBA Inside Drive 2003. So my brother and I started a season actually using young versions of great players that were still in the league at the time. So, for example, there's a code that you can put into NBA Inside Drive 2003, and it's Peekaboo. And when you put that in, it unlocks seven young versions of players. So you get young Michael Jordan because he was with the Wizards at the time. Young Patrick Ewing. I think he was with Seattle at the time. Or with Orlando. Excuse me. You get young, high-flying, super athletic Sean Kemp. You get young Karl Malone. Young Scottie Pippen because Pippen was still in the league, if you remember correctly, for Inside Drive 2003. And there are a couple other players. So we started a season using those young versions of the players, and we're just having an absolute blast. The gameplay is fun, and the modes are well done, and the game has a lot of options, and we definitely have to connect, especially in play inside Drive 2003. However, one thing I want to point out, where it comes up short gameplay wise and where NBA Live beats it is Freestyle Control. So in Inside Drive 2003 and 2002, there's only one dribble button. So it's the one button that does a crossover. It's a one button that does a spin move, and it's very, very basic. So you don't have a lot of options at your hands, like with NBA Live, where with Freestyle Control, you can, you know, hold the ball out behind you. You can pump fake sweep. You can, you know, lean one way and explode. You know, you have to be able to, you know, you can cross over right to left with a stick instead of pushing a button, etc. So that's one of the things where it comes up short. And then with Inside Drive 2004, they tried to add some dribbling to the right stick, but they didn't do a very good job of it. It doesn't work as well as Live. It's not as simple as, you know, switching hands with the dribble by going left to right or right to left. It's very, I don't know how to say, it's like cumbersome. It's not exactly fine-tuned. So that's where Live really has an advantage over Inside Drive. But I recommend that game. I recommend that game and that series to anybody who loves basketball video games.
No, I'm definitely looking forward to connecting on that and seeing playing a game that I haven't spent any time with in some cases, and maybe we can get Inside Drive 2000. In fact, we will get Inside Drive 2000 working on your PC as I have. And you're right, they called it a Freestyle Revolution on the back of the box of Live. And of course, these are the gimmicky selling points and buzzwords and whatnot. But it really was a revolution. It was very revolutionary to have that right stick dribbling. It really just changed basketball gaming. There's a reason that 2K eventually adopted right stick dribbling. When NBA Live nailed a concept, they nailed a concept. And maybe 2K has gone on to do it better over the years, but Live was an innovator in many cases. People do forget that. But as far as unlocking those younger players, I mean, how great is it to just unlock content, not have to grind for it or to pay for it, whether you're using codes or just playing through a challenge like NBA's greatest in NBA 2K12, of course, you would unlock the teams by playing through that challenge. Just being able to unlock content with a code or just by playing the game, not having to pre-order or pay or have loot box mechanics, as is the case in my team and Ultimate Team. You know, just having fun with the game. How great was that? What a novel concept.
Just jump right in, play with no strings attached, right? With no like extra leaps and bounds that you have to take in order to get to that content, or, you know, having to feel bad about yourself because you spent extra money in order to get content that should have been free, right? Because I know there's a lot of people who feel guilty about having to do that. Yeah, no, it's outstanding. And for our listeners, anybody that wants to connect with me on Parsec and play in NBA Inside Drive 2003, please reach out to me because I would love to get a session in with you, especially if you haven't played the game before, because I think experiencing it for the first time is a really fresh experience if you've only played like NBA 2K from the early 2000s or only NBA Live or only those two titles. It really is kind of like a special new experience. It's enjoyable.
And, you know, that's one of the things I really enjoyed about collecting as well, playing some games that I didn't back in the day because I was so focused on NBA Live. So playing those other games, seeing what they were doing, and just doing something different, taking a break from another favorite or the latest game in the series, whatever you're playing at the moment, is definitely a lot of fun.
No, 100%. And I think that's where Parsec opens up so many opportunities, right? Like right when I got Lakers versus Celtics, I was able to get you on the sticks, and you were able to play that 1989 version even though you didn't own it. So it just opens up this world of opportunity in order to let people try games before they go out and buy them, or just try it in general. You know, I talked to people about this on the Discord. I let an announcement out. I said, if you want to try NBA 2K23 PC before you buy it and you want to, you know, check out the gameplay, just let me know and I'll get a session together. And so I'm going to be buying NBA 2K23 PC like I do you know, I buy the newest 2K every year on PC. So I'll have that on day one, and I'll just have some people connect with me. They can try the game, and they can decide if they want to buy it or not.
I mean, in lieu of a demo, that's what we can do for the community.
Right, 100%. And I'd like to do that with you, too, if you're kind of on the fence, if you want to try it. You know, if you want to connect with me and try it, we can do that.
Before we go on, a reminder that the NLSC podcast comes out every week on the NLSC, me-live.com, as well as our YouTube channel. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast apps. If you're listening on any of those apps, we'd greatly appreciate a review. To keep up with the show and everything we're doing with basketball gaming in general, connect with us on social media. On Twitter and Facebook, we are the NLSC. We also have an Instagram, NLSC Basketball, and on YouTube, we're youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. Once again, visit us at NBA-Live.com, where in addition to the podcast, you'll also find all of our original content, as well as our forum and modding community. So speaking of NBA 2K23, the preview season has more or less tipped off. We have the announcements of the cover players, the different editions of the game. It is available to pre-order now. And of course, we have the news, as we said, about the PC version. But the first bit of news we got after the leak last week from Shams about Devin Booker, which was accurate, as it turned out, although, funnily enough, that was the last cover that was revealed. But the Michael Jordan edition, which is something else we talked about last week, Derek, how we thought that 2K23 would be a great opportunity to celebrate Michael Jordan's career, how we'd love to see the comeback of the Jordan Challenge. I mean, this is the stuff we've been talking about recently, how they've not been focusing on that offline content, and we reminiscing about the Jordan Challenge and NBA's Greatest and even something like LeBron Part the Greatness, for example. And then they just come out and say, yes, 2K23 Michael Jordan edition, the return of the Jordan Challenge, revamped, built from the ground up, which we've heard before, obviously, that's a favorite saying. But they're going to bring back those 10 games from the original Jordan Challenge. They're going to redo them. And they're also going to add 5 more that are going to cover both his college career and his time with Team USA. So that's pretty exciting. Obviously, that's going to be in the PC version as well. It's certainly listed on Steam, so it is going to be last gen, or current gen, and also the new gen PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, as well as the previous generation and PC. And of course, we have the two different covers, Michael Jordan on the cover and his signed jersey on the Championship Edition, which is going to be the most expensive edition, which also comes with League Pass. There's a WNBA edition with Sue Bird and Dana Taurasi on the cover. Devin Booker is the standard edition cover player, as well as the Digital Deluxe Edition cover player. So that's the news coming out of this week. We have some leaked gameplay. We have the pre-order bonuses. We've got the covers. We've got the Jordan Challenge. It's probably going to go quiet again, Derek, because this is always how it goes these days. We have that first big wave of information, and then it takes until August sometimes to get the actual gameplay footage and the developer blogs and whatnot. But there's a bit to sink our teeth into right now.
No, 100%. I mean, you say it's going to go quiet, but then out comes all the quote-unquote leaked gameplay footage.
True, true.
Like the video I sent to you before we started the podcast where they were showing off the new shot meter, and then it looked like new net physics, which look absolutely awesome. I hope that we get new net physics in the PC version, because I think that they've been slacking in that regard over the last few years, at least since 2K19. At least the net physics have been pretty poor, a lack of swishes, a lack of net movement, the ball feeling like it goes in the same all the time. So if you want to check that out, you can just put in NBA 2K23 leaked shot meter in YouTube, and it's the first video that pops up. And I say leaked in quotes because you know as well as I do that not all of these quote unquote leaked videos are like big surprises or somebody that wasn't supposed to leak. Like, I think that companies a lot of times do this to gauge reaction.
Oh, for sure.
I think a lot of times they have like one of their influencers, whether they have a big audience or small audience, quote unquote, leak, AKA show footage from the newest game in order to gauge, you know, what people are going to say about it. So I'm sure that one of the things NBA 2K wants to know early on, because it could be a relatively easy fix, is, you know, do people like the look of and placement of the new shot meter? So I was curious actually with you, because you use the shot meter in my career. And I don't know if you use it outside of my career, but I know that you use it in my career. What did you think of that shot meter in the video?
It reminds me a lot of the meter from 2K18, 19, and 20, which I kind of liked. I did like that meter, but it's not just about the meter, of course, because whether you have the meter on or off, it is the same timing, the same shooting mechanics. And the fact that it is a much smaller meter suggests that the timing is going to be a bit different this year, maybe a bit more similar to 2K18 through 2K20. And I thought that was a pretty good timing on those meters. And we've talked about the length of meters before, especially with NBA Live 19, for example, has a very long wind-up with its shot meter. And that was a problem playing against the CPU, because the CPU would be able to get under you and take away the green release very easily in Live 19 because of that long shot meter. So I do think that just getting the right length of the timing is so, obviously, so important to have. And it's hard to gauge, obviously, without having my hands on the sticks myself, but I do like the idea of having that shorter meter so that the CPU can't just come in and take away that green release or give you that heavily contested shot too easily because the timing is so long. So my initial impressions are that could be a very good change compared to what I didn't like about shooting in 2K22.
Another thing that can really be a problem when you have a super long meter is when you're playing online and there's lag.
Absolutely.
Like
yes.
Trying to handle a long meter and combating lag at the same time.
Definitely.
I've seen people complain about that before, and we all know that for a lot of people, lag is an issue.
Oh, I mean, that is definitely the issue with playing online. Of course, you've got the problems with the metagaming, but disconnections, lag spikes. I mean, again, I'm playing with my connection in Australia with our servers. The Australasian servers are in Japan, so that doesn't help us here in Australia and New Zealand being so far away from that on top of everything else. But yeah, lag is such a problem online with timing shots and shot aiming and everything else. So it's important to get those mechanics that work worldwide and accounting for the fact that even to this day, the 2K servers are not necessarily very reliable. That is continues to be the knock on 2K in its online scene. Among other things, proper matchmaking, just throwing that out there again, because I always will. But no, I did like the look of that shot meter being a bit shorter. That's a promising sign to me.
Yeah, the other big news, especially on the NLSC, is the fact that the PC version will once again be a last-gen port, so a PS4, Xbox One port. And I have mixed feelings on this. You and I actually predicted that this was going to be the case for a while. And I mean, that's not something to brag about, because it's just kind of like the direction that you could see them going in. But there's been several episodes in the recent past where we were like, yeah, we're totally expecting the next version of NBA 2K on PC to be a last gen port. What was your gut reaction to that announcement?
I wasn't at all surprised. And I think, as you say, we have been preparing ourselves for that. We were expecting it. So I wasn't tremendously disappointed, because I wasn't getting my hopes up about that. I said this in the forum. My concern with the PC version not being a next-gen port, which is to say PS5, Xbox Series X. I know people say, oh, well, the PC is next-gen or whatever. We know. We're talking about the console generation is being ported from. PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X. My long-term concern with that, because I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, we're going to have to wait until PS4 and X1 gets phased out before we get the next-gen version on PC. My concern is that they're going to phase out those consoles and the PC gets phased out with them if it doesn't go to next-gen in time. So my concern is not about, oh, we're going to miss out on 2K23 and PC. That could be a big deal, don't get me wrong. And it's not, oh, we're going to have to wait 2 or 3 more years to get next-gen on PC. My concern is simply that when they reach the end of the lifespan for PS4 and X1, that's also the end of PC. Now, that's a very pessimistic take on it. It's a worst-case scenario, but I also think it's very realistic. So, long-term, that's why I want to see next-gen come to PC, the possibility that we'll lose a PC version altogether. 2K21 and 2K22, I wasn't that impressed with, as I've said before. I don't think they were a big loss not having them on PC as far as the experience that they provided, but it's the future of the PC platform with 2K that concerns me. So I don't know how you feel about that.
That's a real concern. But here's why I'm probably not as concerned about it as you. I think that once competition comes into the space, and I think it will, and I think that that competition will not just come out on console. I think that they'll also come out on PC, because that seems to be what the company, EA Sports, is doing at the moment with their other titles. In fact, FIFA recently just came out on PC, from my understanding, or it is coming out. I'm not sure. I'm not a soccer guy. I just see the news every now and then about it. But they're bringing the next-gen version of FIFA to PC. So we can get into that a little bit later as far as my optimism. And you know I've had optimism about NBA Live coming back. In fact, how many times have I said over the last year that I haven't closed the door on them, that I do think they're coming back? It's just a matter of time.
You've been more optimistic than I have, and I've been the one that's been accused of being a Live fanboy for years. So yeah, you've been more optimistic than I have.
Right. So like, but to back to your point there and your concern, I think competition would absolutely drive 2K to release their next gen version of NBA 2K on PC. Because they can't have NBA Live, EA Sports, the only, you know, basketball gaming company right now on PC. And they're going to want to eat up that space, just like they've been trying to eat up all the spaces that NBA Live could be in. You know, the NBA Live comes out with the WNBA, right? The next year, what does NBA 2K2 do? They come out with the WNBA and they do it better, right? That's like a direct hit on NBA Live. So I think the best thing that can possibly happen in this scenario, and the driving force to get next-gen 2K on PC, would be a competitor in the space, and a competitor releasing a next-gen version of a basketball title on the PC. And I do think I've been optimistic since the start about NBA Live coming back, about competition coming into the space. I think that's what's going to end up happening. Now, there's been a lot, and I want to get your thoughts on this as well, because we haven't been able to talk about it much. There's been a lot of upset people in the basketball gaming community that the PC version, as like the, what they think, they got slighted, like it wasn't a high enough priority, et cetera. And they're not entirely wrong in that. You know, there's been a lot of theories out there. And, you know, people saying that, you know, maybe 2K is doing a smart business move by not bringing next gen to PC. Maybe they're just trying to get the game into as many hands as possible worldwide, making sure that the game will work on people's current tech, where they won't have to upgrade their system or buy a new computer, et cetera. And they're thinking worldwide, you know, users, etc. And then there's people who are saying that they basically just don't care about the PC gaming community, and that the community is so small that they don't want to spend the extra time, money, and resources on bringing the next gen version to PC, and they'd rather focus all of their attention on the console space. What, before I get into, you know, my feelings on this, and what I think are the possibilities for them not releasing next gen on PC, I wanted to get your thoughts on, why do you think NBA 2K is not being released next gen on PC? And do you think that it has anything to do with the PC community just kind of being forgotten about?
Well, first of all, I do want to say that anybody who is disappointed, upset, absolutely valid feelings. We are a very passionate community when it comes to the PC. We want to see that next-gen version come for many reasons, for the longevity, as I said, as far as my concerns, for the long term, and simply having the version that is getting priority. We want to see that on PC. So I absolutely get why people are upset. I do think that it is a number of factors. It's pretty much, I think, to an extent, a combination of everything you said. What I don't think it is, I'll get to that first, what I don't think it is, as I don't think that it is the PC being specifically targeted of, we're going to try and force them to console, or we're going to try and screw over the PC. I don't think it's anything personal, quote-unquote personal, like that. It's, I mean, yes, deals do exist about exclusivity and whatnot. I don't think it is, it's not a directed attack on PC gaming. What it is you do have, as you said, you have that smaller user base a drop in the bucket, really, compared to the console market when it comes to how many copies 2K sells. So you've got that smaller user base. You've got the challenges of developing for PC, not standard hardware. Not everybody has a gaming PC. I mean, people say, oh, well, look, PCs can run these games and run, they're better than consoles. Yes, the best gaming PCs are. But how many posts do we see every year? Oh, can I run the game? And then somebody posts a very outdated laptop or desktop that may be able to run it on medium settings, but is definitely going to struggle. A lot of people are want to run it on a laptop that should not be used for gaming and whatnot. So it's not everybody has that hardware. It is not standard like a console. This is, again, I'm not saying that PC gaming is bad. I play on PC, guys. This is not me being not advocating for consoles as the console master race or PC master race. It's not about that. But the simple advantage is that you have standard hardware on consoles, and you have to support a lot of different hardware configurations that can go awry on PC. So there are those challenges there. You have hacking online, which 2K should be doing more to stop, admittedly, but that is an issue. You also have, again, the console market is so much bigger. It's also the fact that it's not targeted against PC, because PS4 and Xbox One, they're suffering from it as well. And it's just that we're getting that port, that we're having to get that lower priority version. Smaller user base on PC, lower priority. Concerns about not having the right hardware, and maybe wanting to wait in that respect. Focusing on those next-gen consoles. I think it's a combination of everything. I don't think there's any conspiracy. I know some people like to kind of push that and know whether they're trying to screw PC gamers over. It's more a case of they don't... I think it's more a case of apathy rather than malice when it comes to that, if anything. But I do think that it does come down to a business decision. The simple amount of people I have on console versus PC. I don't think there's anything untoward that's happening. It's just very unfortunate, of course. But I think there's a lot of factors that, unfortunately, make the PC a lower priority. At least for basketball gaming and sports gaming. And that's what's happening here.
So I floated out a few ideas on Discord, and I actually wanted to read my post. It was actually in response to Sluggy Sports, who's played in a couple of our tournaments, etc. He said, can anyone explain why 2K isn't putting the next-gen game on PC, so NBA 2K23? And here's a few of the ideas that I floated out. I said, my opinion is that it is mostly due to how many affordable PCs they think will be able to handle the game. More people being able to handle it equals more buyers equals more profit. Mid-range PCs can handle 2K22, even some low-end ones on lower settings. One thing that people need to realize is they are factoring in world sales, not just your area, not just US, etc. How many people around the world have the tech and the money for the tech to be able to handle the game? I think part of it is also that there is no competition in the space at the moment, which I just talked about earlier on this podcast, meaning that nobody is attempting to release a next-gen basketball game on PC. There is no threat. There is no competition. Lastly, and as you know, console gamers still make up the large majority of the player base. PC 2K gaming population is incredibly small in comparison. So the priorities will naturally be on consoles, as that is where they get most of their business. And another Discord user, I think it was Mahmood, brought up the fact that it could also be contract related. So maybe a contract with Sony and Microsoft, etc., and that there's something written in their contract that the console versions are going to be the only versions that are going to be next gen, at least for a certain period of time. And I've seen a couple other people bring that up, and of course that is a possibility. And I think you'll agree with this. The bonus, so let's think positive here, everybody. The bonus of having 2K23 PS4 gen on PC is that most of the mods from 2K20 through 2K22 will work on it. So people will be able to jump right in. And my hope is that they make positive gameplay changes to the PC version that make the game more fun for people overall. If they do that, and you know, the mods carry over and we can jump right in and the game is fun and it's still deep, which you know it will be as far as like customization, you know, the My League customization, all of that stuff. If they can do that and make positive changes, I'll spend a lot of time on it. And I know that you will also spend a lot of time on it if the gameplay is fun.
Oh, sure. You know, I'll take a break from 2K14 as much as I've loved that. I would love to get hooked on the newest 2K again, so I will definitely be going into 2K23 with some degree of cautious optimism and certainly the hope and the openness of mind to be won over on PC and PlayStation 5 alike. We'll be getting both versions. We'll be getting into the additions that are coming out and the likelihood of getting them shortly, I'm sure. I mean, as far as the contracts are concerned, it's always a possibility. Don't get me wrong. I'm not so naive to say that that stuff doesn't happen. It definitely does. I think it's just as likely that the challenges of the PC version, the PC platform, and the smaller user base, because I've seen people bring it up before. They say, oh, there's this many people on Steam. You know, they could, how much money would they make? And it's a case of, but not all of those people who have a Steam account and actively play PC games on Steam are interested in basketball or NBA 2K. You have to realistically look at the demographics and historically how many people are playing on PC. And it's not as many as the consoles. If they wanted to force people to the next-gen consoles, they would stop making a PS4 X1 version. That would be a very risky decision at this point, because not everybody has a PS5 or Xbox Series X/S at this time. Still, there's still shortages there, as there have been shortages of video cards and whatnot, and chips and everything else that's been affecting the gaming in the last few years. As I said, I don't think there's anything malicious there. I think it does just come down to business, and it is a platform that doesn't make them as much money. Obviously, piracy is a thing on PC as well. It's always a factor in these matters. It's unfortunate, but I do just think that there are advantages to the console space, not the least of which is the huge user base, and that's why it becomes the focus. But hopefully we do get that next-gen port sooner rather than later for the longevity of the series, and also, of course, for the improvements. But as you say, the silver lining is the fact that we have if it's the same version, the mods and the tools are going to be compatible, or probably won't take too much conversion to make them compatible for 2K23 PC. So that's a silver lining we can look at. And as long as it has things like the Jordan Challenge and some upgrades, as you said, to gameplay and some enhancements to modes, bug fixes and whatnot, it could still be a very solid game.
Well, I have actually a couple more points. Counterpoint on the whole, you know, PCs not being able to, you know, maybe not as many PCs are going to be able to handle the next-gen version of the game. There are next-gen games that have been released for Steam, and more graphically intense games that have been released for the PC that, you know, that are more intense than, say, like 2K22 for Xbox Series X, and those games are doing incredibly well. So that is the counterpoint to that.
No, that's definitely true. I mean, there's those games, Cyberpunk and whatnot, are coming out on PC as well. I think there is a difference between other games and basketball games, is that we don't get a lot of loading screens in basketball games. When you load into a game in NBA 2K and you get onto the virtual hardwood, you don't see another loading screen until the end of the game, basically. Whereas a lot of other games, you have more loading screens in between. I think technologically that is one of the differences, one of the main differences between a sports game and other genres that you can have. There are ways to not have everything loaded all at once into memory. But yeah, no, that's definitely a good point.
Well, I think another point on that too is there's a bigger audience overall for like certain major AAA adventure games or like massive multiplayer games.
Oh,
right?
Of course.
You're casting a wider net at that point. And I think that people need to factor that in when they say, well, you know, this next gen game on PC is doing incredibly well, etc. But that's also hitting far more households, right?
Yes.
That could possibly.
Yes. Other you know, genres are more popular for sure. Yeah.
Right. So that's just another point on that. So I wanted to bring something up as far as, you know, there's a lot of people that are saying, well, they don't care about PC, or, you know, PC version of NBA 2K has been forgotten, all of that stuff. For NBA 2K22, they brought in the new commentary crew from Next Gen. they also changed a lot of the gameplay mechanics to match up with Xbox Series X. So certain, you know, mechanics that happen on the floor. And, you know, they've added new options and all of that stuff that next gen had, etc. They're constantly updating my team, obviously, on PC and doing the challenges and all of that stuff. They clearly haven't forgotten about the PC user base. And they're clearly bringing over some of the next gen capabilities over to the PC version. And I just want to make that known. Like, don't forget about that. They clearly care about the PC user base because they are updating the game and adding enhancements and all of that stuff. It's not like they're just releasing the same game with a roster update every single year.
The PS4 X1 version, which of course is what the PC version is ported from, is still getting attention. And because of the crossplay, the cross-generation progression of my team, is pretty much the same mode on both platforms. So it's definitely still getting attention, yeah.
The other point on this too is, you know, with all of the toxicity of the online space on PC, all the hacking, all the piracy issues, all the modding, the possible trouble they could get in modding wise, you know, because, you know, people creating, you know, all of this art for the game that isn't technically in it, and they're showing off videos on YouTube that are, you know, some of those videos get hundreds of thousands of views and millions over time, etc. You know, they're putting in NBC scoreboards, TNT scoreboards, TSN. They're putting in Madison Square Garden. They're, you know, customizing the arenas and putting in advertising in the game that 2K doesn't have the license for. But boy, the modders are so good. It looks like it's really in the game, right? They're creating things like players like Charles Barkley and, you know, Reggie Miller, and it looks just like them because they're using stock photos to create the space, create the cyberface. So they could have shut down PC a while ago, right?
Sure, yeah.
If they didn't care about it. So there's a reason why they continue to release PC versions every single year, and why some of the modders are even promoted by 2K, right?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
like people got to understand that. Like, they're not crapping on the PC version. They're not getting rid of the PC version. They haven't yet. They're not, you know, trying to, like, I don't know.
They're not trying to screw over the PC. They're not trying to be spiteful towards the PC platform.
Right, exactly. So that's the point that I wanted to make with that. I am not optimistic on the gameplay side for NBA 2K23. I'm going to guess that it's going to be incredibly similar to what we had on NBA 2K22. I'm also not optimistic about it on Xbox Series X or PS5 either, to be honest with you. I think this is the motion system they want. They're going to keep working with this motion system. We're going to be dealing with the same motion system, which is kind of still part of the 2K18 dynamic, etc. I think we're still going to have problems with skating floating players. I think that there's the game is going to feel really sluggish a lot of the time. I think that we're going to get annoyed with the lack of a proper and realistic post game and high post game and mid range game. I think that we're still going to have those issues. That's my opinion, but I'm going to buy both like I do every year because I'm a collector, and I am hoping that it will be a strong release and I'll have fun with it.
I'm much the same. I'm in the same boat as you there. And I'm going to temper my expectations, but still hope that it will win me over. I would like that. I will approach it with an open mind, of course. And to that point, the last thing I'll say about the whole situation with PC, I think it's very easy to get caught up in a bubble and think that what each of us is most interested in and passionate about is more popular than it is, more popular, more mainstream than it is. The IGN put out an article about the PC being last gen or current gen, however you want to put it, and there were comments saying that who plays on PC, and all two people that play on PC must be upset about this. On Twitter, we had people talking about how They don't know anybody who doesn't have a next gen video card for PC. On the IGN comments, you had people talking about they don't know anyone who plays on PC. I mean, that's just what we all know. I mean, we see this all the time, do we not? Who plays my team? Who plays my career? Who plays my NBA? Who plays my league? Who does this? Who does that? Who plays old video games? Well, Derek, you and I account for all of those things that I just said. who plays this and that? So we know somebody already that does all that stuff. We do get caught up in our bubbles and our biases, but it is unfortunate news for the PC, but hopefully it will be good news in the future, and hopefully 2K23 will pan out. As far as the different editions are concerned, the Michael Jordan edition and the Championship edition are the two most expensive editions this year. They are the special editions, the Digital Deluxe edition, which has some extra bonuses. The WNBA edition is pretty much a collector's item. It has the least amount of, apart from the standard edition, it has the least amount of pre-order bonuses. It is a GameStop exclusive. It's pretty much just for the cover, I would say. But the big thing about the Championship Edition, it's the most expensive edition, $150 US, $240 Australian, which I worked it out. It's about, once you factor in GST, our sales tax, and the exchange rate, it's basically cost the same here and there. It's just the exchange rate. But the big thing that makes that expensive is that it comes with a year's worth of NBA League Pass, which is a selling point for a lot of people. I mean, I said it on Twitter, I don't think I'm going to pay that much. But, you know, with my birthday coming up, who knows? And if somebody wants to buy it for me, just bring it out there. But anyway, I mean, that is a selling point. You get the game, you get the all the pre-order bonuses, the 100,000 VC, the MT, the packs, everything. Plus you get the cosmetic items. And then you also get the League Pass. And Operation Sports put out an article about this, that if you are a gamer and a passionate basketball fan who wants to have a League Pass subscription, it would actually be one of the cheapest ways to get both. So I could see a lot of people actually opting for the Championship Edition if they are interested in having a League Pass as well.
Right, because League Pass by itself is expensive.
Yeah, that's about $300 Australian a year anyway. So
yeah, that's what I mean. So it does make sense. I think that it's a good business decision by NBA 2K, to be honest, to add that wrinkle kind of into the fray. I think that a lot of people will take advantage of that, to be honest. I think that there's a lot of people who know how expensive League Pass is on its own, and some who get it every single year. And I think that they'll take advantage of that deal. I don't know exactly how that's going to be implemented, etc. Well, I guess we'll find that out later, and exactly how it works, and we'll see if there's any complaints about the implementation of it. But no, I think that makes sense. It's still a lot of money. $150 is a lot of money.
Yes.
But I think it's something that makes sense for them to try, right? Because if it works and it's popular this year, and there's a lot of people who buy that, you can bet that you'll see it again in NBA 2K24 if it's profitable.
Oh, definitely. And you know what? I do want a Jordan cover. I think at least one of the versions I get, physical copies, is going to have to be the Michael Jordan cover. So I'm probably going to spend a little bit more on at least one to have that that MJ cover.
No, 100%. I mean, you and I are collectors.
Yes.
Right? And what's more important than getting an NBA 2K or any video game that, you know, with a Jordan cover? You know, we talked about that Japanese cover of NBA Live 2002 that had the Wizards Jordan on it, and how excited did I get when you showed me that?
Oh yeah,
right. So whether it's Bulls Jordan or Wizards Jordan, I got to have that cover. So I'm with you there.
And look, I don't want to go through all of the pre-order bonuses. They're pretty much the same as last year. You know, you've got all the My Team packs, receive 10 when you first launch the game, plus Namath's top of pack, receive 2 per week for the next 6 weeks. You've got the free agent cards. You've got a free agent option pack, in fact. And you've got the XP coins in My Career, the boosts, as usual. You can check that on the NLSC. I have posted that both on the main page and in the forum, all the pre-order bonuses. You can also find it on the NBA 2K23 page in our wiki. I've got it all listed there and all the information to date as well. Once again, would definitely appreciate any help from the community keeping that updated. If you enjoy editing wikis, just putting it out there. Standard 100,000 virtual currency that's probably not even going to get your player to 85 overall. It hasn't for years, so, you know, it's nothing's really changed there. It's just the usual, but certainly, if you are into My Career or My Team, That's usually when you opt for the special editions because of that extra currency, that extra boost at the start. But the League Pass subscription is going to be huge.
Well, you know, what's funny is that's not funny. It's kind of concerning. You know, around the world, we're not in a good financial position, like most people are, like a lot of people are not, you know, with inflation and everything. And right now, obviously, gas prices and everything, and, you know, people struggling, you know, to make ends meet. But 2K just gets greedier, it seems, right? So it's a little disappointing. I guess you could say, you know, with the whole, you know, you spend this extra money to get a souped up version of NBA 2K that gets you more virtual currency, and then it still doesn't take you as far as it should, and then you almost feel like you have to put more money in.
Absolutely.
And that's a damn that's kind of a damn shame, to be honest with you, and that will never not bother me with you know, with all the gambling mechanics that are in the game or whatnot. So before we get to the mailbag talking about, you know, the Jordan Challenge being brought back, you know, it was in 2K11, and now it's going to be in 2K23. They're going to be adding new challenges, et cetera. Before we get into that, I wanted to bring up some quick, I guess you could call it NBA Live news. I don't know exactly what to make of it, but I thought this was pretty cool. So Hookup Guy, who's a modder on the NLSC, he's worked on the NBA 2K19 retro rosters. He does phenomenal work. He does arenas. He makes arenas, et cetera. And he is just, his attention to detail is fantastic. He knows the different editing programs incredibly well. He tweeted out that he was visiting EA Sports and that it was only a second time in 7 years that he's gone over to see them. And he, you know, after he ended up coming back, he tweeted out that he had spent some time with Unreal Engine 5. So you can bet that if NBA Live does come back, that it, you know, it could probably come out using Unreal Engine 5, which I know is exciting a lot of people who read his tweet. But then also he said, and I don't know what to make of this, but I thought it was kind of interesting that he tweeted it out. It definitely got a reaction. He said, you know, a lot of people are asking me about NBA Live 23 or NBA Live 24, if they're making a comeback. And he said, I plead the fifth. So naturally that gets you and I excited, right? Like, we're like, all right, there is a possibility, like we thought, that we might get an NBA Live game over the next couple years. If they're bringing in people from the modding community, et cetera, to, you know, take a look at Unreal, and not just the modding community, the basketball modding community, right?
That's
the
right,
NBA 2K modding community. If they're bringing people in, calling them up, emailing them or whatever, bringing them in to, you know, do a test drive of Unreal Engine 5 or meet with them and, you know, talk about, you know, maybe talk about a future game, et cetera. That is big news. So I wanted to get your reaction to that when you saw those tweets.
I mean, it's a flicker of life. You see a flicker of life for Live every so often. You hear about hiring for positions. I mean, we talked about when Rob Jones and Scott O'Gallagher were hired by EA. And then, of course, not much after that. And then you see tweets like this. It's difficult not to start thinking about it and not get a little bit, if not excited, then certainly intrigued. And the specific mention of Live 23 or Live 24, pleading the fifth, obviously, it's is it hinting at it? Is it trying to deflect that talk for now? You know, obviously, focusing on basketball from the looks of things, it's promising. These little tidbits we've been getting over these past few years that we've been trying not to. We've been trying so hard not to read into it too much, but it's hard not to feel just a little bit hopeful that they're not done yet.
Right, but I want to bring up something too, is when he said that he spent time with Unreal Engine 5 when he got done with his meeting with EA Sports, he posted a screenshot of a basketball court in Unreal Engine 5, right? So naturally it's like, all right, so he's using Unreal Engine 5 all of a sudden after his meeting with EA Sports, and now he's showing a basketball court that was Unreal Engine 5. They must have been talking about basketball, right? Who knows if it was college? Who knows if it was NBA, et cetera? But obviously, we hope that it's NBA. And I've said this for a while. I said, you know, EA Sports hasn't announced the series dead. They've left it open now for years after they didn't release for NBA Live 20. And I've been saying it over and over again, it's only a matter of time before they come back. And if you want 2K to up their game, the best thing that can happen is competition. And that competition, nobody's more prepared than EA Sports right now to give NBA 2K competition.
I mean, feasibly, they're the only ones that have got those resources in place, that pre-existing, long-running relationship with the NBA. Absolutely. And it's, you see something like that, and you do feel a little bit hopeful. You do feel like it's a bit of a hint, seeing that that screenshot in Unreal Engine, for sure.
Right. And I think, I don't think it would be this year. If they came back, I think you would agree. We would have heard of an announcement.
Yeah, it seems a little bit late to be announcing that. It wouldn't give them a lot of time, and we've seen before what happens when they try and release later than 2K. It doesn't work out very well.
Right, exactly. So I think if they release, it's going to be NBA Live 24, and I think that maybe, possibly, with that same engine that they're working on for, you know, the newest NBA Live, that would be what was also used for their college basketball title, which we've heard kind of rumblings and rumors about them getting into the, you know, college sports game making business again. So, hey, you never know. Maybe next year rolls around and we have NBA Live 24 and a new college basketball game to look forward to. And that would put EA Sports right back in the thick of things, and 2K would have to step up.
And how long have we been talking about the importance of competition, how much we want to see NBA Live return? There's a lot of people saying that, oh, it should just stay dead, but then they also then complain about the stagnation of 2K. I don't think you can have it both ways. You need the competition, whether you want to buy Live or not. It benefits the community, benefits the basketball gamers to have more than one game on the market. We saw what had happened back in the day. You know, you brought up NBA Inside Drive at the beginning of the show and how it was doing things differently from Live and 2K and was providing that alternative and doing some good things as well. So that is the benefit, as we've said so many times before, that we miss having that competition and at least two main players in the space. So if we get that again, it's only going to mean good things for basketball gaming.
No, 100%. I really hope it happens. I think that the gamers deserve it. I think that 2K fatigue has kind of hit its peak. I think you would agree.
It's increasing,
over the last
if anything.
Couple of years, if it's increasing, if anything, right? So there's no better time for a competitor to come into the space. I just hope that if they do this and NBA Live 24 is announced, that they market the hell out of this game. I want to see NBA Live 24 commercials, right? Like we used to back in the day.
Yep.
I want the developers, the marketing team, etc., to be putting NBA Live in people's heads. I want, on a consistent basis, I want them to be incredibly active on social media. I want them to be showing a ton of gameplay, whether they're, you know, part of the EA Creator Network, whether the people are just, you know, random players in the community who show gameplay. I want to see them retweeting it, sharing it, all of that stuff. They need to market the hell out of this game, and they need to spend the necessary time and resources on it in order to make it, you know, be able to compete in the first year. And I'm sorry, I know that you've said that in the past where you're like, well, they won't beat 2K in the first year. And you're right. They probably have no chance of beating them sales-wise in the first year. But as I said to the Live King, you know, we were talking via PM, I think that if NBA Live does get released and it's strong in the first year, that 2K fatigue is going to drive a lot of people to that game, and they could compete in the first year as far as hype, right?
True. I think they need to. I think they need to come back strong. They need to impress. And they also need to reach out to all parts of the community, not that new young crowd like they were trying and quite frankly failed with Live 19. No more shutting out the old guard, no more focusing on just the old guard or just the new younger gamers. Everybody, they need to reach out to anybody and everybody, us included, Operation Sports, every community that's interested in basketball gaming. They need to be a part of those communities and bring those people in for play testing and reaching out to them for feedback and also chatting with them, doing interviews, etc., with everybody, to really show that they are committed to that audience. That audience is not just going to come back by itself, as you say, putting it in people's heads, and the game absolutely must impress. And if it does come back strong, then yes, that hype and the 2K fatigue, it could really surprise people. But it needs to be an awesome game, needs to have some pretty good modes, maybe not as deep, needs to have fantastic gameplay that people are going to want to play instead of 2K or in addition to it. So yeah, as we said before, it absolutely needs to impress, and they need to do the right thing by the community, because that lack of loyalty has been there with some of the long-time community members. I'll just say it myself. I've talked about this in articles recently. You know, we had a community manager that tried to be the new Ronnie 2K and shut out the old guard. Look what happened with Live 19. Just saying. So they need to correct all their mistakes there. Obviously, most important is putting out a great product, but they do need to market it, as you say, and they do need to do the right thing by the community as well, and those people will come back and play that great game.
Don't just go after like the high subscriber or high follower
the influencers, yeah,
right. Don't just go after them and then only take their words and mostly put stock into that, and don't only, you know, have them promote the gameplay or give gameplay ideas, etc. Get all different demographics involved in this. 100%. Right. Get all different ages, etc., involved in this. Don't push out the old guard. Get people in there with experience on basketball video games, with lack of experience on basketball games, people who are kind of in the middle, etc., and then really fine tune your game and then show it the hell off. Show it off constantly. You know, have developers showcasing gameplay and talking about the gameplay, etc. The marketing is so important. Now, again, listen to us right now. We're excited. There's never been an announcement. We're just talking about a guy who visited AEA Sports. So we're not saying that there's going to be an NBA Live 24, but we're hopeful.
No, we obviously want to be hopeful. We want good news. Didn't get the best news with the PC version of NBA 2K23, obviously. But to that point, you put out the mailbag prompts this week, Derek, asking the community's reaction to the announcement of the PC, and also what they'd do with a new Jordan challenge coming back, how they would change the challenges and whatnot. So it has come time to open up the mailbag.
To the mailman, the pump fake. What an unbelievable dunk!
So, Derek, the first tweet you put out there was about the PC version of 2K23 and the announcement that has ruffled some feathers.
Absolutely. So this is the question I posed for the community for mailbag question one. You know, basketball gamers, it was recently announced that the PC version of NBA 2K23 will once again be a last gen port. What are your thoughts on this, and will this deter you from buying?
And we've already given our thoughts on the situation with PC. Some interesting responses here, starting with our friend The Live King at Steve from the Dot on Twitter. 2K doesn't want modders data mining and breaking the game. Fair point.
That's a fair point. Probably not talked about enough, to be completely honest. And, you know, when I look at breaking the game, I think also about things like, you know, hacking, as far as like the online community goes, right? Like Park Play and everything, and ruining that scene and whatnot. How many people have we heard about getting banned?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Doing that, and we remember our friend Jay Will, I think it was Jay Will on the NLSC forum, that just constantly talked about the nightmare scene that was the online scene on PC. So when I think of, you know, he says data mining, but my first thing is, you know, people using like modding tools, like cheating modding, my career modding tools, and, you know, using characters that they shouldn't be able to use in those modes and all of that and stuff, and souped up characters and just butchering that online scene. So that was the first thing that I thought of.
Next up, we have at @jam_scoot. I will purchase the game, but not for PC. I might purchase it late game when it's on sale. And that's certainly when a lot of those PC sales picked up, I would imagine, when it does get discounted in a month's time or a couple of months' time. Of course, the UBR back in the day sold a lot of late sales of 2K12, the first UBR for 2K12. A lot of people picked that up on sale late. But yes, there are people that are going to wait and not pre-order.
Yeah, I mean, I think my response to him was, you know, that makes sense, because during the NBA 2K's game cycle, it always drops down to $20 a couple times, right? so he can just pick it up for $20 a couple months later, you know, after release. I've even seen it drop as low as $10. So if he waits long enough and, you know, he doesn't care about jumping in right away and he doesn't have the urge to jump in and test it out right away, yeah, just wait for that sale.
And if you're not playing online or playing my team and you're not really caring about playing against other people and really grinding hard, you don't need to be grinding from day one. So by all means, wait and see if, what other people think about the game and wait for that sale for sure.
100%. And I want to say that to anybody like this person who tweeted that. Wait for it to drop to $20. Wait for it to have that sale because it happens every single year. And it's not long after the release when it does hit that first sale. So I would recommend waiting. If you don't care about jumping online immediately and you don't have the urge to check out things in the new game.
At Dalek_ on Twitter, last time I bought it, it was because it was free on Epic. It was the only game I played for years, but thanks to this decision, I'm back to playing my huge backlog of games. Also promoted Basketball Classics, a fantastic game. You know, shout out to Josh and Dave as always. And yeah, some people are just going to feel that 2K fatigue and not really trust that new game, not want to buy it on sale or otherwise, and just get through a huge backlog of games, which a lot of us have.
How lucky are we to have the retro basketball gaming selection that we do, to have the classic basketball gaming selection that we do? You know, I have so many fun basketball games from the past that I can put on every day because, you know, I've kept some of the old games that I bought when they were new, or I've recently bought retro games that I wanted and didn't have. And I love that point. Listen, people, play what you want, play what you love. Don't play a game just because it's new, because a lot of people, I think, do that. And even though the game frustrates them, they still feel like they have to stick with it because maybe their friends are on it, or maybe because, hey, it's the newest title. Why would I go back and play an older title?
FOMO.
Trust me. Going back to favorites is incredibly fun. And if you're on PC, I recommend downloading Parsec, like we've talked about so many times before. And, you know, there's a community of Parsec players, and you can play some of those old games with other people, even if they didn't have online connectivity. So yeah, definitely go back to old favorites.
King J Mace, definitely not buying 23 for PC. Too many dirt mods to lose, just got to port over. 22 on PC looks better than next gen. Yeah, I think with the mods, people are going to stick with 2K22 or an older favorite, as we said. Modern communities can keep those games alive.
Well, my opinion is that NBA 2K23, that most of the mods from 2K22 will work in it, because I think they're going to keep the same graphics, like the player models, all of that stuff are probably going to be the same. The courts will work from NBA 2K22. Some of the arenas might even work, etc. Who knows? So, you know, scoreboards might even work, all of that stuff. So he says that right now, but if he finds out that all of those mods from NBA 2K22 are easy to put in NBA 2K23, and, you know, he can get more people playing Blacktop with him via Parsec, and, it can help him with his video making on YouTube, because I know he has a popular channel over there. I think that eventually King J Mace is going to end up switching to NBA 2K23. I will admit that, you know, if I'm wrong, but I think that a lot of people, once that, you know, in the modding community realize that those mods easily carry over, that they're going to want to be playing the, you know, the newest game.
It's definitely a possibility. And certainly if it goes on sale after a month or two, then it's going to be difficult to pass up, especially if you're a collector and modder, as we are. Speaking of modders, Thundershack, Thunder_Shack on Twitter. I'll probably scoop it up when it's 65 to 75% off, like I did with 2K22. I would argue 2K22 on PC is probably better gameplay than 2K20. I found 21 to be a downgrade from 20, but I stuck with 2K20 because it wasn't a drastic improvement. I expect the same experience with 2K23 PC. So yeah, the fatigue of having to buy it every year, not feeling that the improvement is there, people are going to wait.
No, 100%. You know, he talks about 65, 75% off. That's right in that $15 to $20 wheelhouse, right? So I think that, once again, waiting for that $20 sale or that $10 or $15 sale and everything is the smart move, especially for somebody like Thundershack, who does have a backlog of NBA 2K games that he enjoys, and he doesn't really care about that online scene.
Now, the modder at Davies2K on Twitter, I think the 2K should simply improve the graphics in a way that PCs can run. Based on reports from Steam, there's an indication of the graphics power that the current generation has, and they simply give us the same thing every year without changes in appearance, graphics, visuals. Why can't they make an NBA 2K14-style version? The majority of PC gamers think it was the best version in the graphic style, but they simply deteriorate the graphics year after year. So, I mean, obviously a lot of people are still updating 2K14 PC, but that when we're talking about the great graphics of 2K14, we are talking about the what was then next-gen, the Xbox One, PlayStation 4 version, which I've been playing on PS5, funnily enough. Yeah, it's such a fantastic... Not just the way the game looks, but the reason that I'm playing it, as you know, Derek, is that it feels so good on the sticks. So 2K14 yeah. was such a great start to that generation. So I'm with him on that one.
NBA 2K14 for Xbox One, PS4 has some of the best presentation on court, like during gameplay in basketball video game history. As far as like the crowd noise, the lighting, the atmosphere overall, the way the jerseys move on the floor. The jersey movement isn't even close to as good today, you know, in the newest 2Ks as it was in NBA 2K14. Just the overall lighting on the players, just the way the atmosphere looks, I think you could agree. So, you know, I've said it to you before in our chat, you know, that we have on Twitter. Whenever you send me a highlight, you know, I've said many times, sorry, but and that the highlight on NBA 2K14 that you just showed me looks better than any highlight that I've seen on NBA 2K22.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Right?
So I see where Diaby's 2K is coming from. I know he absolutely loves those 2K14 graphics, as do I. It's puzzling to me, as it is to him, when, you know, you get new releases of NBA 2K and the graphics are either not improved or they're a step back from the prior year, or they're not as good as something in many cases and in many areas as something that we've had, you know, 5, 6, 7, or even 8 years prior. So I understand his point there.
J-23, it's sad, but it's definitely a business decision. It would look crazy if the mod community beats them at their own game, which they've done in the past. Reminds me of GTA 5 Definitive Version release when they banned the modders. Same stuff here, but nipping it now, in his opinion.
I mean, it's a valid point about the modders beating them at their own game, because no offense to the developers at 2K, because I do think that they do some fine work in many different areas, art-wise. Just some of the cyber faces, the quality of the courts, the accuracy of the courts, the accuracy of the faces, the accuracy of arenas and all of that stuff. I think that modders often do it much better than what NBA 2K's art team puts out. So even something as simple as making the ball itself look more realistic, right? One of the first mods that are usually made for these games is a ball mod, in order to make the ball look more realistic color-wise and texture-wise. So I definitely understand where he's coming from. If they wanted to shut down modding, they would have done it a long time ago. Okay, I just want to point that out. NBA 2K14 and NBA 2K12 had the biggest mods that have ever been created for basketball video games, with all of these seasons, you know, all of these new cyber retro seasons, all of these new cyber faces, players that were not licensed, arenas that were not licensed, courts that were not licensed, doing things that NBA 2K wasn't doing at all. And it was just this large modding community that was creating this work that was just superior, honestly, to what NBA 2K was doing at the time. If they wanted to shut it down, they would have shut it down a while ago. So I don't think that they're trying to shut down modding in any way. But where I will agree with what he said, yes, the modding team, the modding community can often one-up the NBA 2K art team.
Easy Madden 25. I see majority of PC players complaining, but I don't see many looking at it from a reasonable point of view. New-gen graphics cards are still a rarity in the PC community. What's the point of giving us next-gen when 90% of the community will have to run the game at medium to low settings? And yeah, this is something we brought up earlier, the availability of video cards. That has been a bit of a shortage there. People who aren't necessarily... They're into PC gaming, but they don't necessarily know the ins and outs of specs and whatnot. I mentioned the posts we get every year, can I run this? And you may be able to, but it's on much lower settings, or sometimes it's definitely not a gaming PC at all and you don't want to try it. It's just going to overheat that thing. But yeah, I mean, I think that is definitely a concern that they have. But not just that, though, but also having to support multiple configurations, multiple video cards, multiple chipsets. You've got NVIDIA, you have AMD. So you've got the different brands, you've got the different chipsets and whatnot. And yeah, it is definitely harder to support a PC release because of all the different... There's not that standard hardware you have on consoles. So that is a factor.
It would be ridiculous to think that that conversation wasn't had at a NBA 2K table or meeting, right? Revolving around this, revolving around the release of the PC. You know damn well that the conversation happened where they were like, you know, what are our concerns about, you know, releasing next gen on PC? And there's somebody there or multiple people there that raise the concern of, you know, are we going to be able to reach as many gamers, and are as many gamers going to be able to purchase and use this product with their current setups without upgrading if it's the next gen version, right? So, I mean, these conversations happened. That's obvious. How much that factored into the decision of them releasing on PC and it being the next gen version, who knows? We'll never know. But obviously they had these conversations.
SI_02_ I own the consoles because EA and 2K don't care about the PC for whatever reason. It just sucks that I can't buy next gen 2K on my PC. I won't bother buying a last gen version of NBA 2K23 or any last gen sports game on PC. And yeah, when you look at the price, I mean, everybody talked about the price hike on the next gen and saying, oh, well, prices haven't increased in years and it's a brand new generation, but they didn't drop the price on last gen and certainly not on PC either. It's right up there. In fact, I looked at this, Derek. JB Hi-Fi here in Australia is currently selling the PS4 and X1 version of NBA 2K22 for under $50. Everywhere online, pretty much, unless it's on sale, 2K22 for PC is about $90 Australian or $80 Australian. So it doesn't come down on PC, even though it is the lower priority version. And even the next-gen version, PS5 and Xbox Series X/S, is, I think, around $60 Australian at the moment. So, yeah, you're paying a lot for a version that is not the priority and that is a last-gen version. So, absolutely.
I agree with his frustration. Like, I understand it. I don't agree with the whole, you know, they're not doing anything with the PC version or they're not trying on it or whatever. Because, like I said, they have been implementing new features into it. Like I mentioned, the commentary team, you know, upgrading the gameplay where it's more similar to the Series X and PS5 version, etc. So I don't think they've forgotten about it. And I also think that they have those conversations in the background as well about the PC version, giving them a lot of positive exposure. I've talked about it before, Dominus and Dom2K, people with 200,000, 300,000 subs on YouTube, etc. Their videos get hundreds of thousands of views. And what they're posting, even though they're mods, it's the PC version of the game. And that's a lot of positive exposure for NBA 2K. So people got to remember, just because the PC version has a much smaller user base, because of those mods and because of those gameplay videos centered around those mods and everything, that does a lot of positive things for NBA 2K. So you know those conversations are happening in the background. As far as the price goes, I agree with him. I think, you know, if you're going to release the last gen version on PC, make it $50, make it $40, etc., to get more players on that platform and, you know, to be more fair to the gamer. But we know that's not going to happen. I mean, even up until recently, before NBA 2K17 was taken off of Steam, it was $60. NBA 2K17, which is about 5 years old at the time. So if they're still, you know, pumping out these games that came out years ago for $60, you know damn well that they're not going to drop the current release PC version to, you know, $30, $40, or $50.
Not at all, no. Next up we have BlackZ 2013. I think this is extremely disappointing. And yes, I probably won't buy NBA 2K23 this year for the first time since NBA 2K5. I think I'm done with the series. Priorities have truly shifted towards the casual crowd. And just to throw it in there, at Upstager 12 says, you want 2K to put extra work in, LOL. Yeah, I mean, that goes to the cynicism and the fatigue that has been built in recent years I know there are people who haven't been buying some of the recent games, been taking a break from the series. They haven't enjoyed it in years. And certainly that feeling that it's the priority has shifted towards the casual crowd, as Black Zed says, that we've definitely talked about that. And it's the same on next gen as well. It's not like Crocs are only a thing on current gen, right? I mean, that whole focus on cosmetic items and the approach to gameplay is what they're doing with the next gen version as well. So yeah, I think there's a lot of people just fed up with 2K at the moment, and any kind of bad news about PC like this is not going to make them want to support the series anymore.
And that factors into the 2K fatigue in a big way. The, you know, the whole cosmetic focus and the gambling mechanics, and even just all the BS surrounding builds and all of that stuff, and the artificial boost, and just the way the online community works in that game, and how toxic it can be, and how the online modes work, and that factors in a big way, in my opinion, into 2K fatigue. And I think that even when there is gameplay changes, and I think you can agree with this, I think even that when there is gameplay changes each year, because there's always a few little gameplay changes, but at the end of the day, the gameplay doesn't feel fresh. That's a huge bummer for the majority of basketball gamers. Like, has the gameplay for NBA 2K for you felt fresh, new, and fun in the last 4 years? I would say absolutely not.
I mean, I'm playing 2K14, so...
Right, exactly. So I think people are really itching for, like, a new, fun, and more fair and fun online connectivity and modes.
Undoubtedly. Thank you so much for those responses. And yeah, we do agree with many of those points, and certainly feel that frustration ourselves. The second question we had this week, you mentioned NBA 2K23 is bringing the Jordan Challenge back, said to include the same challenges that 2K11 had, but also new ones. 5 new games, of course, that are going to apparently cover his Team USA stint and also college career. So probably going to have North Carolina to choose from in my career as well. We will get confirmation on that, of course, but that would be my speculation. So you put it out there, what new challenges are you hoping to see? And we got a couple of responses to that, which we'll read off real quick. Sistic_Jedi says, I know it's not going to happen, but would love to have to play the 98 Pacers through the 7-game series. And in return, you unlock Reggie and the Pacers, but I know it's not happening. Similarly, at K83_Kerry on Twitter also says, versus the 98 Pacers, and of course the 93 Suns as well. So yeah, those are two that immediately come to mind for me, and I think you'd love to see those as well.
No, 100%. I actually have a short list of new challenges that I would like to see, and I wanted to get you your take on these. And one of them actually includes his Wizards stint. And I actually think there's a lot of gamers that would like that and would show off that challenge. One of the ones that I wanted to bring up was showcase something about his rookie year. Center a challenge around that. How many people love to look back on players' rookie years? Jordan, in his 9th game in the NBA, so his 9th regular season game, they played against the Spurs, and he had 45 points, 10 rebounds, 18 for 27 from the floor, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Maybe have a challenge where you play the Spurs. It's his 9th game, and this is MJ's breakout game, and you have to get close, equal, or exceed the stats that he put up in that game against the Spurs. By the way, the highlights of that game are unbelievable. So maybe highlight 3 or 4 games of his rookie year and have like a rookie MJ challenge as part of the 2K23 Jordan challenge mode. Another one that I would really like to see, and then, you know, Kerry Williams brought up the 92 Suns. So the 92-93 Suns that, you know, face the Bulls in the finals. Obviously, we would need licenses. This would be assuming that we actually had the licenses for Charles Barkley, because we know we already have Kevin Johnson, Dan Marley, Cedric Ceballos, etc. But, you know, Jordan in those finals, he averaged 41 points per game, 8.5 rebounds, 6.3 assists, 1.7 steals, 50.8 from the floor, and 40% from 3. You have to, if you can get Barkley in there, which I don't think they'll be able to, but if you can get Barkley in there, you have to have a full challenge centered around that playoff series. Jordan put up ridiculous numbers, and you could do so much with that. And then I would have a Jordan Wizards challenge, as long as, again, you can get the right amount of licenses. He had 40 points at 40, so you could do a 40 at 40 challenge. He scored 43 points in 2003 versus the Nets. He had 38-year-old Jordan scored 51 points versus the Hornets, if you remember. And what an amazing performance that was. So 38-year-old Jordan, 51 points. You could easily center a challenge around that. And then his first preseason game, actually, with at home with the Wizards, he scored 41 points against the Nets. So he has many strong games with the Wizards, you know, between eight, when he was between the ages of 38 and 40, that you could include in a Wizards Jordan challenge. So those are three that I would absolutely love to see in the new 2K23 Jordan challenge mode.
Those are some fantastic suggestions. I too did a reimagining of the Jordan challenge for Way Back Wednesday a few years back as well. And I did 15 games from his 15 years in the NBA, plus some bonus challenges at the time. And I too went for a rookie year challenge. I said Air Jordan versus the Human Highlight Film, January 26, 1985. A great duel between him and Dominique Wilkins, of course. But again, that first big scoring game against the breakout game against the Spurs, I think, is a great option as well. I mean, the arrival, 1986, the 63-point game against the Celtics, that's a great way to start off the challenge, obviously, or it was back in 2K11, because that's that first big, you know, undeniable rival game that he had, obviously. But getting something from the rookie from his rookie year would be fantastic as well. Obviously, it sounds like it's going to start in college. And I'm wondering, because when they talk about Team USA, if it does have the Dream Team, Charles Barkley has made exceptions to appear as a member of the Dream Team in the past. He might be in it. I mean, I'm not going to get my hopes up too much, but there is some precedent there. So we'll see. A couple of the other ideas I mentioned at the time. Yes, the 93 finals, obviously. Again, assuming that you can get the license for Charles Barkley, of course. I was also substituting a few games at the time. For example, with the 96 challenge, I actually said January 10th, 96, at the NBA Finals preview, Sonics versus the Bulls, because that was a bit more of a challenge for him to as far as his stats go, and it was quite an exciting game for them. I mean, you can't take out the flu game or the last dance or things like that. Actually, I did mention both the 51-point game against the Hornets and the 40 at 40 in the 2003 season as well. I think they'd be fantastic. You've also got the shot in 1989, trying to replicate that. A 92 game against the Knicks with Pat Riley taking over there. You've got another 95 challenge against the Magic, better wearing number 23. If you can get Barkley, then you definitely want to do a game against the 97 Rockets, I think, with the big three of Barkley, Olajuwon, and Drexler. And certainly, yes, that 98 Pacers series as well. So there's definitely a lot that you can choose from there. They're only adding five more games, but if they can get a couple of those in, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of great suggestions there and great ideas. I know that the next thing that I'm going to say will resonate with you, and that you're as hopeful as I am for this. I hope they spend a little extra time on the accuracy of the way Jordan plays for this, for NBA 2K23, because he was still the best he's ever been in a video game, accuracy-wise, in NBA 2K11. You know what I mean? And I want the game to feel like I'm using Jordan.
Definitely.
And I haven't had that feeling, to be honest, since NBA 2K11 and then NBA 2K12, which still had a lot of those 2K11 animations in it, etc. A lot of times when I'm using Jordan in the newer NBA 2Ks, he feels almost generic. I also think that they kind of butchered his free throw, and overall his shot doesn't look as good as it used to. So I really hope that he's playing right and realistic on the floor.
They have released a couple of screenshots that show the new Jordan faces for both 80s and 90s MJ in NBA 2K23. The next-gen screenshots, that is. Look pretty good, I thought. But yeah, hopefully it's not just the face, it's also the animations, it is the play style, and that that it has done justice to his career, much the same way as the original Jordan challenge did. And one last thing that I'll throw out there, and I think this is not going to be the case, but it has been brought up, the idea that it may be just a My Team exclusive. I don't think that's going to be the case. I'd still play it because I do play My Team, but I think they are going to do it the way they did it back in the day, where it's going to be that single-player offline mode. Maybe it has some connectivity. Maybe you can earn VC or something with it. So there's probably going to be some connection there, or maybe some leaderboards or something, which would be awesome as well. But I do think it's going to be traditional, and I certainly hope so. That's what it should be.
Fingers crossed, right?
Absolutely.
That's what I think the majority of gamers want to see. And it would be really cool if I could share the mode with one of my brothers, right?
Definitely.
Like, they could hop on the sticks with me, maybe some local co-op to it. I doubt that's going to be the case, but I do have my fingers crossed for that too.
So thank you for those suggestions. Hope you enjoyed our suggestions as well. And we are keeping an open mind for 2K23, and we certainly like the idea of celebrating Michael Jordan's career, do we not?
No, 100%. I mean, he just has so many moments. I mean, there was a 50-point timeline that gentleman by the name of Bruce Blitz put out. It's actually taken off of YouTube, and I want to say that it had hundreds of thousands or maybe up to a million views before it got taken down. But he had a 50-point timeline on there of Jordan's 50-point game highlights, and the video was over 2 hours long. Right?
That's right.
And I watched
that,
the whole thing. So if you want to know how amazing Jordan was and how many great games he had, over 2 hours of highlights just off of his 50-point games, that is incredibly impressive.
No, indeed. We could talk about Michael Jordan for another 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. We could go on and on about his earners for sure. But as we wrap up here, just wanted to read out a kind comment from Kid Cash that I got this past week. I just want to thank you, too, for making me come to grips with the reality of not being a fan of the modern NBA. I have been a basketball fan for as long as I can remember, and over the last four or so years, I noticed I wasn't watching as much basketball as I did in the past. I started to question myself and my love for the game. How could I not watch hours upon hours of NBA basketball anymore? So listening to your show has removed all guilt from my mind, and now I comfortably say I don't care for modern NBA basketball. So I just wanted to thank you for giving me the confidence to come out and say that with my chest. You're welcome. I think a few of us do feel that way.
That is an amazing comment. No, I appreciate that. I want people to understand that just because they don't watch the NBA or they have problems with the NBA product and they see that, they're not enjoying the NBA product as much, doesn't mean that they don't still love basketball, right? You can still love basketball and have a passion for basketball, but not enjoy the product that the NBA is putting out. So I'm glad that he was able to come to terms with that. I'm glad that he still enjoys basketball overall and basketball gaming, because he hasn't lost his love for the sport. He's lost some interest in the NBA, right? So good for you, and I'm glad we were able to help out.
But with that being said, that has brought us to the end of episode number 434 of the NLSC podcast. We thank you for tuning in. The podcast comes out every week on the NLSC, of course, nb-live.com, as well as our YouTube channel and all podcatching apps. And once again, we invite you to connect with us on social media. So Derek, I'll throw it over to you to share your socials.
Oh, thank you. You can reach me on Twitter at D4384. That is by far where I'm the most active. I'm also on Twitter at D43G. You can follow me on the NLSC, D43, and I am on YouTube, D43.
I am Andrew in our forum and Andrew NLSC on Twitter. The NLSC is on Twitter and Facebook at the NLSC. Our Instagram is NLSC Basketball. Our aforementioned YouTube channel is youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that's all for this week. So thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Derek.
Go get buckets, everyone.